think we're ready to make a motion on CS for CP4, unless anyone had any more discussion on it.
Is that draft two?
Draft two.
Yes, draft two. We walked through all the changes and...
Where did you say it's been?
And this was run by Commissioner Mark Olis, I suppose, and they were happy with it.
Finance and taxes reviewed, bill drafting was reviewed. Chandra, Commissioner Scott moves that we, forget what the terminology of our motion is supposed to be, approve pending...
Pending review.
Review and order by our committee. CS for CP4. Commissioner Hogan's the second, let's see, call roll.
Commissioner Hogan?
Yes.
Commissioner Les Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Chair Levetic?
Yes.
It passes.
Okay, CS for CP6, we're going to have a little bit of discussion on this one. You have bill analysis, you have first and gross version.
In on the phone?
And then we have, this is draft two.
Draft two is what we need to approve.
And the reason, let me explain to the commissioners, the reason for draft two was that when we went back and counted the words in the summary, there was a hyphenated word in the summary that came up on our count as two words. And so in an abundance of caution, what we did was we took out the prefatory language that we had in the summary, and we made it, it was saying proposing amendment of the state constitution. We just took those words out and we started with provides. So that eliminated our problem with having 75 words in the summary.
And let's refresh our memory. The main change that we made to this was on lines 174 and 175. The discussion that we had last time about is really the land that's accessible to the public versus the water that was accessible. So that was the main change that we made. Now the issue that's still out there that I don't think we've gotten resolution on, and we couldn't find that we had given staff direction, is on C and D, where there had been pointed out by the staff, I think we had this discussion, and I don't know if we resolved it. Some of the finance and tax staff had said, did we mean it was the dry stack or the land that the marina and the dry stack was on that has this differentiated assessment? Is it the manufacturing facility or is it the land on which the manufacturing facility is on? And I don't know that we came to a resolution on that.
Well, I mean, as far as assessing, right?
Right. Should it say land used for commercial fishing, land accessible to the public, land used for marinas and dry stacks, land used for...
Well, I thought we were going to get Commissioner Wilkinson's input or the lawyer's input, but when you read H, the assessment of the following work and work shall be based upon the current use, and these C and D are based on their... the manner of assessing either words, but they're assessed on business, you know, the business use versus the value of the land right now. So I think the point is that they are supposed to be assessed on what they're grossing. How do they assess businesses like marinas or any other businesses, how they would be assessed? So if you don't
did we get a chance to talk to
you? You don't just go to the land on that, because what you're really saying is the assessment shall be based upon the current use of the property. The assessment of the following shall be based upon the current use, and when it's used for marinas and grass decks and water dependent and whatever, that's what it's to be assessed as, and not be assessed as if they could build some big
piece of
I think there's a distinction, because you could have property and, you know, you have the structure, it could be like tangible personal property versus real property, the structure and what it's sitting on. Maybe another way to do it is to say real property under H1, assessment of the following It should be based on the current use of the real properties, but I spoke to Jose, and I think Jose spoke with Commissioner Wilkinson, and I don't think they completely resolved the issue.
But you see, the point is that they, it's my Appartmental Value Adjustment Board, I sound that for you, but that their businesses are assessed by income methods and whatever, you know, and so that's why it doesn't just say land, because if you just said land, then these businesses potentially.
So you feel like this is fine the way that
it's. I think it's okay like it is, and again, it's like.
In your mind, then, what does it mean? If marinas and dry stacks are not going to get any special consideration, if you're talking about the structures themselves, but the land still would, as far as assessment.
Well, if we changed it like he's talking about to be like one and two, but I suspect, I don't know this, that it should stay like it is, because the idea is that if there are marinas and dry stacks open to the public, they're supposed to be assessed on that use and that income, and it may be considerably less than it could, would be if they were doing something else with it, you see, and that's the, I thought that was our basic thrust here. And the same with water dependent marine manufacturing, whatever. Okay, so they're building small boats on waterfront land, or bigger boats like in the case of Broward Marine down there, that they're going to be assessed based on their current use. So if you change it to say land, that's, first of all, that might be a major change. That's why I was, you know, it might be considered.
But what's the change then? Why are you mentioning it? Is this how they are?
Because he brought up the issue. It's not changed, right?
It was not changed. How it surfaced was the folks in finance and tax said the assessment runs to land, and that what you're talking about is property. However, this C and D don't speak to the property, so their question was whether we meant to put land in front of marinas and dry stacks, or land in front of water-dependent marine manufacturing facilities. And as Senator Scott just explained, there's a difference. And that is an explainable difference from A and B. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would prefer leaving alone as we can.
I would say that we leave it alone, and if there's some big issue on the substance, they'll have to try to make it a substantive amendment. Someone would, but otherwise, I don't think this is a big deal.
This cleared every committee with this language, and nobody that testified brought this to the attention of Tom until we got the style and draft in. So.
Well,
why don't we finally vote it next Thursday, unless something
I'd like to hear from Commissioner Wilkinson.
Yeah, if there's something
the
else. So I thought that's
you
what...
You want to leave it the way it is?
Yeah, let's
today.
Leave it, and it's like preliminarily, we'll okay. Informally approve, but we won't finally vote it out of here until next week.
We won't make any
week.
Changes to it until next week, what, but we want to hear
one final Wilkinson. Clearance from Wilkinson, and then we'll be ready for the vote
right.
Next Thursday. Okay,
yeah.
Got
is
it.
Is that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay, Commissioner Garcias for CP16, this is the first time we'll be reviewing this. So you have the bill analysis, you have the first engrossed version that came to us, and then you have the markup that went through bill drafting, where bill drafting has proposed changes. This is Commissioner Jablonski's issue that creates a conservation.
What do these lines mean? Could you explain what's like line four where they've got requiring underlined? What does that mean?
This is the way that bill drafting recommended the words are reworded. So, yeah.
When you look in your packet, what we always provide you is the first and grossed, and that's what came to us directly from the commission. When you look at the second document, what is underlined are the words that Bill Drafting thinks would be a better stylistic way of redrafting.
So we're going to keep on line one, resolution of the...
Right. We're not, we've already resolved that issue.
We've been dealing with all of them. On line three, it used to say Article 7 and the creation of a new section. Bill Drafting says we need to say, we should say what the new section was, the creation of Section 28 of Article 12. Instead of just saying a new section.
I drafted it from the Senate style. So when we had House style, staff reviewed it.
But don't they do that automatically? What if two sections pass and one? I mean.
All of this eventually goes through a statutory revision, which performs the same function it does for statutes. But this is just our working title. So this doesn't appear anywhere except in our internal documents.
Yeah, statutory revision will assign new numbers if there are multiple Section 28s, and then they'll put a footnote saying, you know, this was designated 28, but we had to renumber it as 29.
So what do y'all want to do?
Well, to make it easy, what Bill Drafting found as the only stylistic problem with this particular proposal is if you look down in subsection B, we have this second sentence that says the assessment benefit provided by the subsection is subject to conditions and limitations and reasonable definitions specified by the legislature by law. That's really not correctly stated because you don't say the specified by the legislature by law. You either say by general law or by the legislature. So what they suggested to us is that we start with the proposal, we reverse the sentences, and we say, as provided by general law and subject to conditions, limitations, and reasonable definitions specified therein, and then they pick up with the guts of the proposal, which is land used for conservation purposes shall be classified by general law and assessed solely on the basis of character or use. That's their suggestion to us. It's up to the committee to tell us whether that makes more sense. I think it's cleaner, and it takes out the duplicative language on line 30. And frankly,
it
doesn't
affect the words entirely. I don't like backing into these sentences. That's just me, you know. I mean, we want to leave with land use for conservation shall be. I don't. Here's the
I tend to lean toward the bill drafters because they're cleaner, but I don't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to me.
This is correct.
I just think
I'm going to explain that part too.
I just think we bring this back to the commission with all of this leading in. Somebody may be like me saying, well, why would you do that?
If you stuck with leading with the first sentence, land use for conservation purposes shall be classified by general law and assessed solely on the basis of character of use, we do need to clean up that second sentence a bit because we don't really say specified by the legislature by law. We'll just say as provided by law or something like that.
General law. I think you want all of this to be general law. You don't want any special acts out there.
Yeah.
So maybe we would say if you're looking at the first and gross, you'd say the assessment benefit provided by this subsection is subject to conditions and limitations and reasonable definitions specified by general law.
I like provided.
Provided by
as
general
provided
law.
By general law. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll bring that back for final vote next week.
And then the new language that's on page 3, 4, and 5, that is just Bill Drafting showing that we needed to incorporate Amendment 1 that had not been incorporated in here because when this was first drafted, Amendment 1 had not passed. So all that new language is not new language. It's just showing on their document that they inserted current language in the Constitution. That was Amendment 1.
That's exactly right.
And we would show it uncoded.
It wouldn't be underlined.
So they engrossed this and put all this underlining in it?
That's the way they showed that they were adding it to our document, but it's not underlined.
But when we go back to the commission...
It'll be un-underlined current language of the Constitution.
They're just showing you all that they inserted language.
Okay,
that's
I got it. Okay.
Now, did we want to go with their Schedule 28?
Their section, same specific section
right.
versus a new section.
Right.
I don't know that it matters. It's our internal document, so it's up to our
We know it right now as Section 28.
So you want me to incorporate what they've got on their schedule as... Okay, we'll bring it back to you with its own Section 28. Okay.
Okay.
Now we need to look at the ballot summary language. Yeah. We made no changes to it, and if you all...
It used to say ad valorem taxation of land use for conservation purposes, and they recommend changing it to classification and assessment of land use for conservation purposes.
Why? You said it used to say what?
It used to say ad
valorem.
Yeah, that was how it came to be.
I think that's those are more definable. I understand the term by the public. Than ad valorem. I use that when I'm talking to somebody that just were getting like, okay.
Can you talk about that? So when we bring this back for your approval next week, we'll use the bill drafting language.
And can we, and we'll show it to Commissioner Yablonski as well to
right,
see if
sure.
he has any.
I'm kind of surprised
it.
Preston isn't here today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the way you'll see it next Thursday.
Week.
Is
okay.
he seeing this? Do we have?
It's
not?
Been available to everybody. It was posted on the website.
We'll make sure
it posted
mm-hmm.
the
Mergent and Paradox.
But we'll ask Preston and Commissioner Yablonski before next week.
Okay.
CP20, this is the Blaine Amendment. The first is the bill analysis. The second document says, on the draft, last week, what bill drafting had recommended, so look on lines 23 and 24, the original proposal had said individuals or entities, and bill drafting had recommended the singular and individual or entity, and the group didn't have a problem with that, may not be barred from participating in, and the original version said in public programs, plural. The bill drafting said change it to singular and make it say in any public program. Martha had asked staff to research whether that was a substantive change to say any, and so Richard looked into that and found that there wasn't a substantive difference in saying the plural of programs. He found that A means one or any, so it means either.
And it's repeated in case law that way too.
Right, so addressing Martha's question, that's not a substantive change. However, the original said because of religion, and bill drafting had recommended on the basis of religion, and Martha wanted us to verify whether or not that was substantive, the because of, or on the basis of, and Richard did do a review of that, and found that there is a slight difference, and that the because of actually aligns with the other article basic rights sections of the Constitution, so we're just going to stick with the original because of instead of be on the basis of.
If you look in section 2 of article 1, where it lists basic rights, the very last sentence uses the terminology that was in the original 20, which is the because of language, not on the basis of. And what we found was that on the basis of is language that comes from certain civil rights acts and from chapter 760, which is the state's civil rights. It's not constitutional language, it's statutory language. And one of the important distinctions is that the Florida Supreme Court has held that the provisions of Article 1, Section 2 are self-executing. So that when you use the word because of, we have precedent to say that you don't need any legislative act in order to make those particular words effective.
So Section 2 says, no person shall be deprived of any right because of race, religion, national origin, or physical right. disability. So they use the word because.
And we think we should continue to use it because you all are putting constitutional language here, not statutory. And when I talked to David Seville about it, he recognized that why they brought that up was that they usually are preferring statutes. And the funny thing to me is, though, when I was looking at one of these civil rights statutes, if you look up here, it uses the words because of race, color, religion, sex, national order, and in the same sentence it uses on the basis of race, color. Mm-hmm. So statutorily, it's confusing because they use their own statutory language and the constitutional language. So I feel safer in recommending to you.
And it's not a change.
It is not a change. So if everybody.
So the only change here is just a singular form of the singular.
And Madam Chair, if everyone's satisfied, we can take a vote on that.
Move approval.
So Commissioner Hogan moves approval pending ordering and further review by trial and drafting. Commissioner Scott seconds it.
Commissioner Hogan?
Yes, here.
Commissioner Les Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Chair Levesque?
Yes. Okay. Yes. 35 is the last one for today.
Did you say 45?
This is the local option sales tax for.
It's going to be over the weekend. We're going to meet at Mount Ranch. We
have the bill analysis, you have the original versions that came to us, and then you have the bill drafting recommended changes. And they really only made changes on line 42, and they were all stylistic, if you want to walk through that.
I will. The first thing they noticed was, as you read this provision, it initially said when it was sent to us, counties served by an open access public institution whose primary mission and responsibility includes providing lower level undergraduate instruction and awards. They thought that the tense was wrong, that that word should be awarding so that it conforms to providing. And so the first change that bill drafting suggests is that we use the word awarding instead of the word awards, which seems to be clear in the context in which it's being used. So I would suggest that that's a good catch.
Why? I'm not following that.
Because now it would match that you're really talking about counties that have an institution whose primary mission includes providing instruction and awarding associate degrees. It makes the providing and awarding instead of providing
the
an award. It just makes them in the same tense.
Because just otherwise it reads whose primary mission awards associate degrees. Whereas the first part of that clause says whose primary mission includes providing
and
lower.
I got you. Okay, fine.
So if that's okay, we'll make that change. They then restructured the next part where it says in what was sent to us, it said, shall be authorized by law to levy local.
We're not here.
I'm on line 43. Shall be authorized by law to levy a local option sales tax to supplement the funding of the institution upon approval of the electors. What they did was they suggested that we put a period at the end of institution and then start a new sentence which says the tax may not be levied unless approved by the electors of each county served by the institution. And that's a restructuring of the paragraph.
It was all one big sentence before, correct?
So may not is the same as shall not?
You had two things in there. You say it twice. You say the funding can't take effect upon approval, and then you say again the tax shall not be levied unless it is approved. And what they've suggested to us is that we clean that up and say it once by using taking out upon approval of the electors, because in the very next sentence you say the tax may not be levied unless approved by the electors of each county. So it depends on the language. We don't come, none of us thought that that changed any of the substance or something.
Mr. Wilkinson,
Wilkinson, wonderful. Well, why don't we, go back
can,
to...
Can I bring you back?
Yeah.
Hang on there, Ken. We want to get right back to you.
Not a problem.
Commissioner Wilkinson, do you have copies of the latest version of CP6?
I just went off of your site. Let me get back on there.
Okay. While he's looking at that, the only other changes they made in the ballot summary were to conform with the cleanup of the verbiage in the.
Yeah, I'm on our homepage.
I think if you are all okay with that, then.
We're going to let us finish this matter we're talking about, and then we want to talk to you.
Okay.
So if we're all okay, we're going to give the staff directions to make these changes and bring it back to us.
So it'll be ready for a final vote with those changes next Thursday.
Okay.
This one was unanimous. This is the thing.
Okay, so let's go back to CP6. Commissioner Wilkinson, you said you do have the latest version that we've been working on.
Tom is emailing it to me right now.
I'm in our site, and I'm looking at the proposal working waterfront as to the update, I guess. And it looks like I need to go over a gross staff analysis. Is that the one?
No.
Tom is going to email you the latest version that we're looking at.
Okay, I'll have to go to my personal email.
Well, it's in there as second engrossed. Look at your
second engrossed.
Substitute for 6, 8, and 34, second engrossed.
Commissioner Levesque?
Draft.
This is Susan. Commissioner Levesque?
Hey, Sue, yes.
Commissioner Wilkinson, if you'll go to the meeting materials page on the website.
I'll go back to the front page, right?
Yes, go to meeting materials.
Related documents, member meeting materials, got
meeting
it.
Materials, and then go down to today's meeting, which would be the Style and Drafting Commission meeting on April the 10th.
April the 10th, yes.
And then you should find the document that they're discussing, which would be the second engrossed.
Gotcha, first engrossed. Okay, I'm
second
here, got it.
Okay, sorry for the interruption.
Not at all.
Now you have the second engrossed, Commissioner Wilkinson.
I think Tom just emailed it to him, right?
It's kind of easier to find.
I'm looking at the first engrossed right now.
Second.
Can you look at the second engrossed?
Yeah, I just
go to the second. I'll have to get out of here and go to my personal email.
Oh.
Okay. Is that what you want me to do?
Yes.
I emailed
yes.
you to the Honorable Wilkinson address.
Yes.
That's so, got to be.
But don't you have the second?
No, he doesn't. Engrossed? He doesn't, Jim.
He doesn't. Have it. I'm sorry.
It's not.
Just tell us when you've got it.
Commissioner Wilkinson? Commissioner Wilkinson?
Speaking.
If you'll look on that page that I showed you.
I've got the
You'll have first and gross, then there's first and gross staff analysis, and then there's second and gross draft.
Okay, I've already gone over my personals, and the one Thomas sent me says here's the draft under discussion.
Okay, you got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Okay, what's our discussion?
Go to line 174 first.
174, let me scroll down. I have to talk when I do this stuff. Talk to the machine.
While he's looking, I called Martha Barnett and told her we were finishing, not to rush back over. Just so I didn't know we were coming back to this, but okay.
There, land that is accessible to the public and used for vessel launches, waters that are navigable.
Now, I just want you, we did change that from what came to us, because what came to us was.
I think the issue was land is water.
Yes.
Being accessible.
Yes. And so we went
and
to
I like that change, as I recall.
Fantastic.
Is that the same one we discussed, the only one we did discuss on this?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, if it's the same one that we discussed, I had no problem with it.
Okay, the only other issue that was brought to our attention are lines 176 and 177. The Finance and Tax Committee folks raised the issue of whether or not we should be saying land that is used for marinas and dry stacks that are open to the public, land that is used for water-dependent marine manufacturing facilities.
Yeah,
and
that
so,
sounds like it could be better because it just tightens it up, right?
Well, we want to have that discussion with you.
Well, Commissioner,
what do you think, Jim?
Well, the issue is, correct me if I'm wrong, that you go back to the basic introductory sentence on 170, the assessment of the following working waterfront property shall be based upon the current use of the property. And then the following, you get to marinas and dry stacks open to the public, and then you get to water-dependent marine manufacturing facilities. Well, aren't those assessed based on the income method, gross something?
Yeah, most are. We are in Lee County, but there are some counties, I'm of the opinion, that may be looking at that as highest and best uses.
But the point is that if we change this to add only land in there, that may limit.
Well, that wouldn't be the intent. I see what you're saying. Are you saying that then we would then add in the cost approach on the structures, etc.?
Well, the point is that's the way it's done, is my understanding. Now, I'm limited mainly to serving on the Value Adjustment Board, but that's the way that they're assessed. So if you only said land, then someone could say, well, you know, we're not, it didn't apply to the whole marine.
No, that wouldn't be my intent.
Yeah.
The intent would be, quite frankly, I know how we do them is on the income approach, which includes all the property.
Right.
Be it sticks and bricks or land.
So we don't, my thought was that we wanted to leave it like it was and not try to add in the word land.
I see the interpretation can be what you're saying, I think, by saying land, that then we'd only assess the land on the income. But you can't assess the land on income. Land doesn't make income.
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute.
Well, what about A and B?
What about what?
A and B has the word land. Mike Hogan's asking, what does that mean? I'm kind of leaving this because I'm one of the other bills sponsored here. But land use predominantly for commercial fishing. I suspect the word land is in there on that one. Let's take A because you didn't want to say something else like boats.
Well, you know, you could say, I think the discussion was with Thomas that if you didn't have land in there, then people would say you come from the water to the land and the water's accessible.
That's on B.
That's on B. Look at A.
Oh, okay, now I got to go up a little higher. The next page.
Well, if you think about it, on A, land use, if you didn't say land, what else would you say? Properties? are following working waterfront property. It doesn't say real properties. So I guess someone could say, well, how about the boats? And, you know, I don't know. I mean, that just to clear.
I think we're all in agreement. The intent is we want to keep it narrow as far as interpretation, correct?
So you, the land, that's why land is used in A and B, or?
My problem is when I'm in this particular email, that is right on the bottom of the page, going to another page, and when I hit a certain way, it flips back over.
What other option is it? What's the other alternative language?
I'm not following where this bill's taking us then. I thought the whole purpose was to provide a special benefit to the land, and never thought that it would provide special benefit to the buildings that were placed on that land.
What I think the confusion is you're trying to split the two, and if you're going to use current use, then whatever that current use, what approach to value does that generate when you have income producing property? The income approach, assuming it's four or more units, and none of these would be less than that, the income approach is the proper approach, and that includes whatever's on that property, whatever is, makes up that business that creates the income stream. Follow me? Or land and buildings both make up the income stream if you're applying the income, which most of these properties would be based on the income approach if this passes. It takes away the flexibility of an appraiser wanting to take a more aggressive approach, which would be highest and best use. Does that help? I think we're splitting some hairs in the sense that when an appraiser looks at and applies the income approach, it encompasses everything that's part of that business. You know, you have to do all three approaches, but you settle on the income approach as for the proper approach to apply. Have I confused everybody?
You have me, because the highest and best use is what the land's highest and best use is.
Correct.
Not the structures on the land.
Correct. But still, highest and best use, then you would go to the market and find the sales in that area predominantly, and usually the issue has been that waterfront has been converted over to condos. But this property's still there in a different use. Some appraisers will apply that highest and best use, where this would require them to apply the current use, which most likely is the income approach.
Right.
You use the income approach, you're including all whatever makes up that business.
All right, so let's think about, let's say, yeah, I understand that we'll get the real estate, but you got a big building with
dry stacks.
Dry stacks.
Okay, dry stacks. They pay whoever the owners are. Sometimes they're fee simple, actually, on the dry stacks.
Yeah.
But that's more private. But if it's business and they rent out those, you capitalize the rent, the income stream, and that becomes the income approach.
Right.
And you don't, on top of that, throw in the cost of the construction of the buildings or anything like that. It's all encompassed in the income approach.
All right, so here's the point. If one of those buildings, if somebody wanted to be real, I know you wouldn't, but some appraiser wanted to say, well, the highest and best use of this building would be X if you did something else with it other than the dry stack. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Right, and this would prevent them from doing that.
Right. See, so that's why it's not just land, I think. That's
correct. I think we're confusing the fact that the word land is there. I thought by putting land meant that you were narrowing it, that the land had to be accessed by the public, which would eliminate
the water.
I assume the thinking was, I live next door and I'm a member of a private yacht club. We're not intending for them to come under this.
So
it's private, it's not open for the public.
Right. So our staff director Susan has questioned the use of whether it should be real property, I suppose, in A or B, rather than land. But I don't know. Somebody, you get into real property, whether that's different than land or not.
Have you changed the ballot summary as well?
Oh, real versus tangible. I didn't have a problem with the original talking with Thomas on defining or putting in that word land. But I never considered it being looked at any differently than what we were talking about at the time.
Right. Well,
I mean, I don't have a problem almost either way, because I know what I'm going to do, but that's not fair to others who would, might be trying to interpret it a different way.
Thought at the moment, again, this is totally, I mean, up to the group here, is just to leave it like it is, which is
I'm good with it.
A and B is land.
Issue was brought up, and it made rational sense to me when first discussed, but whenever you do that, then someone else looks at it like it's what we're doing right now and say, oh, wait a minute, what have we done there?
I'm just going to do what I always do. I'm going to build whatever you tell me to build.
There you go.
But, I can
go
sure
back to the original, because it was thought out, I thought, extensively with the marine industry, with the appraisers, etc., and felt that the way we passed it out was going to do what everybody had hoped, or at least those voting for it. We only had one no vote, thought it was going to do.
Okay. So then the basic conclusion on this one, we're comfortable with draft.
Yeah. Does that change our instruction to you?
No, we're fine.
We could vote that then, subject to the ordering. And
yeah,
the,
we can vote. We can vote six out.
It wouldn't even have to come up again for the full commission, would it? It hasn't been changed at all.
Yes.
We did change it to the land that is accessible, but all of them come back to the commission.
Okay.
In an order. So Commissioner Scott moves that we approve this pending ordering from and further review of us.
Yes.
Commissioner Hogan seconds.
Second.
Commissioner Hogan.
On the advice of my lawyer, Ken Wilkerson, yes.
Commissioner Les Miller.
Yes.
Commissioner.
There's my newest best friend.
Commissioner Scott.
Yes.
Chair Levesque.
Yes.
It passes.
Okay, fantastic. We've done it. So let's just review. We're going to meet, we're not meeting tomorrow. We're going to meet next Thursday, 1 to 6, and we're going to notice for Friday, 9 to noon, in case we don't finish our agenda. Next week's agenda is going to have CP2 with further changes that we made today and a revised ballot summary.
And it'll be ready for final vote.
Ready for approval. CP4, we voted out today. CP6.
Voted out.
CP16 is going to come back with the changes that we agreed on today. CP20 is done, and CP35 is going to come back with the final changes that we agreed. Yes, Commissioner.
I would have sidebar.
Okay.
So
nice.
Taking it with you.
You don't need me anymore, do you?
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
We always need you, but not right now.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
What does it do? And the sponsor clearly said, and most likely said, what they can do one way or the other, basically.
Okay.
I mean, that's what he said, right? Somebody asked me that. Mm-hmm. They said he agreed.
I didn't know you canceled
that.
That
they technically could do.
I've been going back Friday night, going back Sunday night.
You got it. And we're not meeting Wednesday.
We can adjourn as long as Commissioner Scott can talk to our general counsel, and that's not a sunshine problem.
Right.
So we can adjourn.
So Commissioner Miller moves. We rise.
Okay. Thank you all. That's great.